What was the turning point? Where did it all begin to kind of catch momentum for you?
Well, there were a lot of memorable moments where I can remember a line being drawn in the sand. There was a period of about 3 years or so where my struggle was fairly private. I would talk to a few people about it, and I had a few people that I would confess my struggles to. But for the most part, during that time, the lines that I drew in the sand for those experiences were mostly just personal commitments to integrity. I think you mentioned that in the last chapter of your book about treating pornography addiction, that the crux of every recovering addict story is a deep commitment to integrity, and that was my story too. There was those definite moments where I said, I'm drawing a line in the sand, I'm going to have integrity, I'm going to do something about this, which meant that as long as, which meant not that I wasn't going to fall and stumble, not that I wasn't going to look at pornography, but that at the very least, if I did look, that I was going to do something about it. That I was going to talk to somebody, whether it be get counseling, whatever. It took a long time for me to really figure out what that needed to be. But I think it was the big change happened when a gentleman at church who was an older gentleman, he came up to me and he invited me out to breakfast one day and said, I just noticed that there's something maybe there's something we can, I think he put it something like, there's something we can get out of maybe talking to each other, maybe something we can share about one another's lives. I was always about getting together with other people, especially older men, to, you know, learn from their wise, you know, their wisdom, learn from their experiences in their life and that kind of thing. And he was sort of offering his, offering to get together. I think what sounded mostly like it just an offer of friendship. But when he sat down with me, he just looked straight in my eyes and said, I can tell you have a secret, and I can tell you have a struggle, and I kind of want to know what it is, and I want to know if I can help you.
Wow, what a caring guy.
And right there
guy.
At the table, I think I just broke down and started to, right there in the restaurant, just broke down and started telling him in a hushed tone my struggle with pornography, and I didn't know what to do, and it was a couple days later, he had me over at his house, and we were talking, and I said, you know, I've been to a lot of people. I've had a lot of different individuals and friends that I've talked to, you know, once or twice kind of thing, and I've probably done this over and over again. I've been to a lot of churches where they've offered a lot of help and healing, you know, and I did the proverbial altar call kind of thing. I went down and I cried and thought that maybe I'd be okay at the end of that, and every time got up and nothing was different, and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, I like to pray for you, and I like to hold you accountable, and I like to meet with you regularly, and we can talk about this. And I said very, very skeptically, I said, no offense, but what in the world is going to be different about this time? And he looked at me and said, because I'm not going to leave you.
Wow.
And that changed everything. And it didn't change it instantaneously by any stretch. But a shift took place in me where suddenly I knew he was as committed to my purity and integrity as I was, or even more so. And he even said to me, Luke, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to talk to you. But I want you to understand this. Right now, you don't even need to believe that what I'm saying is true, that it's possible for you to be free. If you don't have that kind of faith yet, I'll believe it for you until you do. And when he came along and was sharing that burden with me, there was a shift that took place, and I don't know how to describe what that looks like if you've never experienced it, but it was a shift that I realized I wasn't alone anymore, and that I was gonna have the help I needed, even if it was a long road. I knew I was gonna have the help I needed.
Example. What a marvelous example of somebody who takes the lead there and says, I'm here to help you, and I'm not going to run away, and I'm not going to abandon you, and I'm not going to, you know, get you part of the way and just drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to, I don't, I don't know if he's ever going to listen to this, but I just want to say thank you to Sean for doing that for me. He was a wonderful influence on me, and that turned into our relationship turned into many months of us meeting together very regularly. And instead of really focusing on the pornography addiction, that was a subject of conversation to be sure, but he really wanted to get underneath it, mm-hmm. to the underlying beliefs that were driving it. And I found myself, more than not, I wanted to go in and confess my latest blunder with him. And he said, yeah, that's fine. That's great that you want to talk about that. And thank you for telling me, and thank you for being honest. But now tell me what was really going on. Tell me the stuff that you were thinking at the time. Tell me the stuff that led up to this. Tell me the surrounding. Give me the big picture of what happened.
So in essence,
and
he was asking what you're escaping from.
Started changing everything. I started to not see my pornography addiction as an isolated incident of, I just need to have a deeper commitment to purity or a deeper commitment to whatever. I mean, it started with that, but it really was a. It started now down to this much a much more. I want to say a much broader picture of what was going on. It wasn't just this isolated problem inside of me. It was connected to a lot of different things, whether it be insecurities, whether it be things from my past, whatever it was connected to a lot of different things. And when that happened, it changed everything.
You know, and that's often my experience. You know, people often escape from pornography. There's something that they have to get in their mind they're trying to get away from.
Yeah.
And there's almost always an underlying root there, almost always. Now, there are some people who it's become such a part of their life that they are so used to those chemicals, and there's such a deep addiction. And I believe it's an addiction to those chemicals that they get while viewing pornography. But
right.
But even then, it's often escape away from. If it was a drug addict, many drug addicts go back to the drug because they can't deal with out the chemicals in their body. They can't deal with the withdrawal symptoms. And when people are have deep-seated addictions, what you find is that those withdrawal symptoms are what draws them back into it. But it's still crucial to go through that pain, as you described, Luke. So a very, very important part of that story. I really appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, I do believe, and from my own perspective, I do believe that our addictions, they still are what they are. They still are wrong. They still are sinful. They still are a problem, but they are just the surface problem. And there are underlying sins. There are underlying things that are wrong, under false beliefs that undergird so many of these things that drive us so back again and again and again to the same things, like a medication, like you're saying. We're trying to escape something, and really, if we continually focus on what's going on the surface, if I just want to try to stop the addiction, but I don't actually go back to, well, what am I trying to medicate? What am I trying to divorce myself from? What am I trying to escape from? Or what if I feel bad? Where does that feeling come from? What is it exactly?